Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Today is Martin Luther King Day in America, and each year he reminds me of the power of one. I think about one angry atheist Bolshevik who commenced a revolution that morphed into the slaughter of some 100 million people. And that included the dissolution of the Russian Orthodox Church. 80% of its bishops were either executed or forced into permanent exile. 12,000 clergy were murdered. 100,000 Orthodox Christian lay leaders were shot, hanged, drowned. Orthodox parishes reduced from 50,000 to less than 100. 1,500 monasteries disbanded. 61 seminaries. This was among the worst persecutions of the Christian faith since the very days of ancient Rome. And it was only about 100 years ago. How soon we forget. Well, concurrently, in India, one man in a loincloth sparked a civil disobedience movement that energized tens of millions towards independence. Of course, I'm talking about Mahatma Gandhi. And that independence being from British imperialism. Gandhi's nonviolent civil disobedience ethic provided the impetus for what we are celebrating today. Not only that, for Mandela's anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. But today I think of Martin Luther King and how one man can make a difference. The Reverend Martin Luther King, who we acknowledge today, who we think about today, stood at the very forefront of the civil rights movement. He profoundly changed the course of American history. How? Well, with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination. As a result of seeing what Gandhi did, Martin Luther King Jr. believed that he could make a difference as well. And I hope that that is a lesson for every single person listening to my voice right now. The power of one. Think about back in 1964, I was 14 at the time, he became the youngest man in history to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And then just 4 years later, he was martyred. But in his short life, Dr. King infused the civil rights movement with Christian principles. Now, we wrote a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. in the Christian Research Journal, those articles you can find online. But he challenged the church to live up to biblical ideals, and he invoked Christ in the name of racial justice. As King made clear, it is the consistent application of biblical principles, biblical maxims, that inevitably leads to emancipation, frees one from slavery. Dr. King appealed to the principles of brotherhood in order to bring about racial justice. And he dreamt. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day everyone in America would be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin." King emphasized so many great biblical maxims again and again. He emphasized that the goal of ending discrimination must not involve hating your enemy, but rather changing those who despitefully abuse you through genuine acts of love. He emphasized that the means of ending racial injustice had to be as just as the very message itself. And he said that no matter how dark things might appear, no matter how much it might cost you to stand, and after you've done everything to stand, we need to stand on integrity. And then, in King's words, "we shall overcome." In a commencement address at Lincoln University, King said, "I call upon you not to be detached spectators, but involved participants, for this is a great drama, a drama taking place not only in our nation, but a drama taking place around the world. In the strength to love," King writes, "we must combine the toughness of the serpent and the softness of the dove, a tough mind, a tender heart. The tough mind is sharp and penetrating, and as such it breaks through the crust of legends and myths and sifts the true from the false. It speaks truth boldly and does so from a heart of love. And therefore," said King, "refuse to become bitter. Be motivated by love." Well, the quote of the day, quite appropriately, comes from Martin Luther King Jr., who said this: "An individual has not started living fully until that individual can rise above the narrow confines of individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of humanity. Every person must decide at some point whether they're going to walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. This is the judgment. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" And when we talk about biblical principles, think about Jesus saying those very words. When you do these little things for others, even a cup of water or a piece of bread, you are doing it unto me. In fact, the whole law can be summed up, says Paul in Romans 13, in loving others. Why? Because if you love others, you demonstrate vicariously that you love God. And in doing so, you fulfill the great commandment. For we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We're coming up to station break. On the other side of the break, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. It is Martin Luther King Day, but everyone at CRI is hard at work, and we thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Do remember, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Again, on the web at equip.org, or by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be right back.
Are you worried about artificial intelligence? You're not alone. Pop culture pummels us with images of intelligent machines overtaking humans. Transhumanists believe that humans are merely machines, and that artificial intelligence is the next step in our evolution. In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards dispels these dystopian tales and explains why we should be far more hopeful than fearful about our future on account of what he calls the human advantage. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Clay in Higgins, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Clay.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you and I appreciate what you do. First time I've ever called. I was reading this morning in Mark, I think it's Mark 7 or Mark 8 in that area. Jesus heals a man who is deaf and dumb. He puts his fingers in his ear. He spits. I think he touches the guy. And then he tells the guy, as he does in numerous other places in the epistles, not to tell anyone. Why did Jesus tell people that he had healed not to tell anyone?
Yeah, well, that is what you find in the text, and it is Mark chapter 8. You know, Christ is to sit upon the throne of David forever. And he does not fulfill that mission until he's coronated on the cross as the Messiah, not of this world, but the eternal kingdom of God, which will never pass away. And you have to understand that in the ministry, therefore, Christ had to counter all of the false political views that circulated with respect to Messiah. His mission could only be fully understood in light of his crucifixion and his resurrection. And Jesus wanted the people, therefore, to have a context for what he was doing. In other words, that his mission was not merely temporary in terms of the miraculous, but a new heaven and a new earth which would never again suffer. And this was something that even the disciples didn't fully apprehend. Even when he was about to ascend into heaven, remember the disciples were wondering, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus had to tell them no. He had to tell them that their mission was an eternal mission. It was not to build a Jewish theocracy. So Jesus was more interested in equipping his disciples as reproducing disciple makers than he was in merely doing a miracle. And by the way, in acting out a parable, which Jesus did, this becomes a visible, a discernible miracle that is acted out in decrees. At first, the disciples see, but they are still not seeing clearly and fully until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we see later on in Mark chapter 9. So again, there has to be a context for the miracles that Christ is doing, plus a proper focus with respect to miracles.
Okay. I'll chew on that.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a little bit heavy for me. Can you dumb it down just a tick?
Well, I mean, again, I think the essence of it here is that Jesus wanted to understand, wanted his disciples to understand the mission. The mission was not temporary miracles. It was not to build a Jewish theocracy. That wasn't the point. The point was that he had come for a far greater purpose, and that is to establish an eternal kingdom. And the disciples had the privilege of being co-laborers with him. So the kingdom was inaugurated when Jesus Christ landed in disguise, as it were, but it would be consummated with his resurrection and his ascension. And so he wanted the disciples to see the global picture as opposed to the parochial picture, which was just the establishment of a Jewish theocracy getting out from under the heel of Rome.
So you feel like the fact that he didn't want people to speak of the miracles was maybe even more for his apostles than it was for the general public.
Yeah, and in some ways, as I said, he was acting out the miracle in degrees in that sense so that they would not only hear but understand.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate your time, Hank. I always appreciate your views and your knowledge. Thank you.
You got it. I want to say something about soft persecution in the West. I'm thinking about an article by David French that I read either today or yesterday. I can't remember. But I remember the headline in the National Review. This was truly a memorable article. Karen Pence, are you now or have you ever been a part of a Christian ministry? Of course, if you answer yes to that question, then in accord with the culture, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're unfit for public service. You are to be scorned and shamed. Why? Because Christianity may no longer play a role in public life. Try to say something counter to same-sex marriage and be in the public domain, particularly as a politician. And that is the state of the union we find ourselves in today. The misinformation, the disinformation, the turning truth on its head has become simply mind-boggling. An article in the New York Times, Karen Pence, the Second Lady of the United States, returned to teaching art, accepting a part-time position, horror of horrors, at a private Christian school that does not allow gay students. The Huffington Post, Karen Pence is working at a school that bans LGBTQ employees and kids. The school discriminates against the LGBTQ people in its job application and says LGBTQ kids aren't welcome. CNN White House reporter Kate Bennett tweeted, so let me get this straight. The Second Lady of the United States has chosen to work at a school that openly discriminates against LGBT adults and children. Even Lady Gaga got in on the act. She condemned the Pences during a concert this past Saturday. To Mike Pence, she said, who thinks it's acceptable that his wife work at a school that bans LGBTQ? You are wrong. You say we should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. I'm a Christian woman, says Lady Gaga. And what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice and everyone is welcome. So you can take all of that disgrace, Mr. Pence, and you can look yourself in the mirror and you'll find it right there. All in all, concludes David French, the media makes it sound as though Karen Pence has joined some kind of a fringe Christian cult, like the Branch Davidians. But in truth, Pence is teaching at a school that, like every other Orthodox Christian church and institution, believes that human identity is not defined by sexuality or gender identity, but rather by faith in Christ and obedience to his principles and to his precepts. If the media finds it necessary to report that Christians are Christians, says French, then it's rather clear that institutional support for gay marriage under civil law is now veering into institutional hostility against Christian orthodoxy and against the basic free exercise of the Christian faith. While it ought to be replete in the headlines, and the sad reality is not, is that the Bible does not condemn same-sex sexuality in an arbitrary, a capricious fashion, Rather, it carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. The temptation to yield to cultural norms is going to continue to be presented to everyone from Pence to the local plumber with increasing ferocity. And yet to yield our consciences to cultural norms is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. To deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the foundation of this free society. Something to remember on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Monday through Friday, your calls answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, and thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for today.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.